Hello, we're back.
Episode six.
And this week we're rethinking advertising.
Hi, I'm Steve Rick.
And I'm Tim Elliott.
And welcome to the RE of Marketing podcast.
A podcast where we rethink, replay and remark on all good things to do with branding and marketing. I produced something, I think it was a talk, where I used the analogy that a lot of marketers now have actually returned to advertising, right? Every little post they're doing, every little thing they're doing, they're actually just creating tiny little adverts, right? They're not doing the whole gamut of brand and story and strategy and stuff like that. So I think advertising is, I think we're returning to an age of advertising because we've got like every little thing that comes up on our screen. For all you people listening to the podcast version, I'm showing my phone screen on this. That is a little billboard, that phone screen, right? In which case, you need to create like a billboard level epic advert. You need to get people to look at it when they're going past. You need to create a thumb-stopping moment, to nick somebody's quote. I can't remember who that is. But I always like that premise of if you're going to do some creative, like some graphic or imagery. When I was growing marketing teams last year for the VC firm.
Yeah.
One of my things I would tell them is that, right, don't just do the work. Don't just whack something out on Photoshop, right? I want you to create, like to imagine that you've only got one billboard to get this message off. You haven't got 1,000 different channels, right? You've got one billboard to tell that message. Mm-hmm. Right? How good have you got to make it if you've only got one billboard? Right, like bringing them back to thinking that impactful, effective, distinctive advertising is super important. Like not to forget that level of stuff when it's easy to do marketing. It's easy to farm content out, right? We've got software at our fingertips that it's easy to shift out some marketing stuff. It's not that tricky.
Everything's advertising though. Everything. You know, down to that latest tweet you've just sent or that little bit. It doesn't, I think people think advertising quite often is billboard stuff, you know, above the line, big spend stuff. I think that's where people's thought processes jump to in the word advertising, or it's somewhere where you spent money, you know. Yeah. People go, oh, what's your advertising budget or how much have you spent on advertising this year? Oh, but you don't have to spend anything. You literally don't. What you're trying to do, like you say, is good advertising creates people to stop and look or stop and listen. That's good advertising.
Yeah. I think that, to break advertising down, right? Because I think, again, there's a lot of people that may have it misrepresented in their mind. I think a lot of people maybe looking at advertising as media, like public media, like billboards, TV, newspapers, magazine, you know, like media advertising, I think is the right word for it. I know pay-per-click stuff on socials and search are in theory called advertising, and they are called advertising. You know, it's not just that either. I think stripping it right back, a piece of advertising or an advert is some kind of really cool, well thought out, eye catching creative.
Yes.
And a slogan or proposition or some kind of a short sentence that conveys a big idea, superly effective.
So later in this episode, we'll do the ones that we like, yeah, like we always do. Yeah. Off the top of your head, right now, what is the first one of those adverts or advertorials that you can think of that made the most resonance with you that you remembered?
I always go to, there's two in front of mine. There's Guinness, which doesn't actually have a slogan, I don't think, or a proposition.
It's to do with time, isn't it? Waiting, because you have to wait for it to cure in the, in the glass.
Good things come to those who wait, kind of.
That's it. Yeah.
Obviously, Apple think differently, and the one that I always use in workshops and stuff is the Old Spice. I'm on a horse. This is
right. So you're the one, but this isn't my favourite one at all. I've got a list of four or five here that are brilliant. But the one that when I started thinking about this episode, I thought, what do I remember as an advert? And it's the Tango Man.
Oh yeah, the Tango Man.
Right.
Yeah.
You've been tangoed.
Ask your mums, people out there.
You've been tangoed. A guy dressed as a big orange baby in the middle of a high street, just rubbing his hand in people's faces.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is a clever advert.
Yeah, there's a lot of those, and I think. You know, I don't think it has to be like you mentioned budget. I think advertising is a lot synonymously linked with budget.
Right. Yeah, which, of course, because you're quite often spending out, because people jump to that is something paid for. Because so when you look at the you know, like the PPC and all that stuff, it's just digital ad spend, isn't it? But people always attribute some form of money going out to make a return on something.
Yeah, and I like another one of the things I always used with my team last year was when you're creating an advert, right? When you're creating a piece of content, a thing to go out, a promotional thing, right? Make it so good. Like, think about it as you've got zero budget.
Yes,
because you have to use creative. All budget does with is get you reach and scale. Right, the advert still has to be the advert. Right, it still
gets you reach and scale, or it gets somebody to do it for you.
Or you could do it. You could outsource it. I suppose.
But that's quite often what happens when you get an ad budget is, even if you're a pay-per-click manager inside an organisation at the minute, if you're given a sizable budget, you probably wouldn't put it all into that, would you? You'd go and find somebody else to help you do it because you start spreading your risk.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
That's the crux of advertising for me. There is almost a ring fence around that. It's a risky thing to do. Advertisement.
I think even if you are outsourcing, right? I think the issue with a lot of outsourcing, go to normal marketing as well as advertising and web design and stuff like that. I think what marketers should be in charge of and should be really good at is creating a brief for that ad.
Right. Yeah.
If you're outsourcing, it's cool, right? If you're doing a TV or a newspaper ad that costs you, like we used to advertise in the Times, and we got, because we did it fairly often, it was quite good, but we it's 17 grand a page, right?
It's a lot of money.
Like, it's not silly. Like, it's not silly money. Like, you have to... It's not throwawayable. You need to quantify that 17 grand spend. Even if you were outsourcing it, right, the brief for what it needs to feel like, needs to say, even if you're not creating it yourself, even if you're not designing it, right, the brief needs to be good. You need to correlate, you know, you need to be able to measure an advertisement, I think, right?
Well, yeah, most definitely. I mean, some of the best adverts out there, which probably talk about later, but you don't even need words, but you can understand it from one picture. And that, you know, nobody's just sat down and done that and thought, oh, I hope that works. That's been brief. It's been thought about. It's got five or six people together or... It's got a design agency involved with a comms agency and a comms agency involved with the brand. And they've all sat there and gone, does this work? Does this advert work for us? Is it that thumb-stopping moment? Is it that turn your head when you're walking down the street thing?
Yeah, what billboards do you remember? I remember seeing, I've not seen this one actually, I think it's in London though. There were them digital billboards that told you to look up and that when a plane go past from an airline.
Yeah.
I can't remember who did that, but I saw...
I can't remember the name there. I can't, but those JC Decal electronic boards have been utilised really well, really well.
There were some good ones as well with, like bus, Kit Kats did bus stops with Take a Break, and it was the six with the two fingers, and
yeah.
Really good, like really good.
I forgot that one, that's a really good one.
Like properly good adverts. But I think, you know, there's probably marketers out there that are listening that are like in their companies or in their remit, they're not dealing with big media TV advert campaigns like that, is right?
But there's less and less of us doing that now.
Yeah.
Because we know that's... I think it's starting to come back a little bit. You know, I think you alluded to that at the beginning of this podcast, that we're all turning into advertisers again. I think a lot of us are moving back. We're not spending big money on adverts and things like that, unless you do work for one of those organisations. But we all know that you've got to make that moment, and that moment isn't going to come through that one tweet or whatever it is these days. You know, you only have a certain amount of characters, so you've got to use your characters well. And to get someone to have that thumb-stopping moment, it's so noisy in some of those marketplaces digitally. People are going, well, how do we cut through the noise?
Yeah, I agree. I think if you look at... There's a really good example as well, quite old, but the Oreo blackout tweet for the Super Bowl many, many years ago. It must be bonkers years ago now. But it's like the most famous tweet on the planet, right? Again, referring to our bonus episode, we mentioned Mark Ritson quite a bit, and he effectively analyses this tweet and its effectiveness and destroys it of any credibility. But ignore that. Ignore that for this episode. Anyway, right, so there's the Oreo tweet. If you've not seen it, Google Oreo tweet or Oreo blackout, the cookie. Right, the cookie. And they sent a tweet out saying, it's all right, you can still dunk in the dark during a blackout, a power cut at a Super Bowl. And if you're not American, Super Bowl is properly watched. Like, I think like 80%.
The most watched sporting event in the world.
It's ridiculous, right? The amount of people who watch that thing, right, is amazing. So these adverts are the most, I think they're the most high-priced advert on the planet.
Yeah, so most of the adverts are around $1 million plus.
Yeah, it's quite a lot, I think. But what they did, right, the example that I'm trying to get to is yes, they were great and it was very creative and beautifully simple, like nicely executed tweet, Oreo.
Mm-hmm.
But what it did, it resonated and was relevant to the audience, which, and their market, right, is probably most Americans, I imagine.
Yeah.
Most Americans are watching it, right? So,
yeah, they go against the niching idea.
But what they did after that, right, they took that tweet, that tiny tweet that wasn't an ad, that was just a good on-brand personable moment, right, that had resonance with the audience, and they made it into an ad.
Yeah.
Right. It went that way round. So it's not creating an ad that goes big and massive and stuff like that. It's finding something that resonates and that is organically really effective. Right.
That's
amplifying it. Right.
So they realized that from that one tweet that they got so much PR from it that they went, oh, we've made our audiences given us the indication that they like that. Therefore, let's go and make a big advertorial from it.
We're still talking about it. Oh, God, it's got to be a decade later, right? Yeah. It's not, maybe not a decade, but...
They are good biscuits, to be fair.
Hogel biscuits. I don't like a cookie. They're too soft usually, but I can demolish a pack of Oreos. So well done. But it's that, what I want to go in the point of advertising is every little thing, every tweet, every post you're putting out that's not conversational, right? That's not a two-way thing. That is it's got an element of creative in it. So like an image and like we said, broke it down, like a bit of creative, an image or a video or a GIF or whatever, and a concise slogan or proposition that drives action, right? Should make an advert. I think whether that's a tweet, whether that's a Facebook post, whether you're doing that, I think you've got to remember that those three things need to be really good in advert to make it effectively. And once something's organically effective, they're like, turn it into an ad. If people are organically, naturally going, actually, I quite like that, and commenting and sharing it, that's probably one of the best pieces of content to turn into an ad, to put money behind.
Right? So I've just really quickly Googled the word advertisement and its meaning, and it has. An advertisement is a notice or an announcement in a public medium promoting a product, service, or event, or publicising a job vacancy. So even if you're having a conversation on any of the platforms, then you are publicly announcing you're having that conversation. So it is an advert in a way.
Maybe this is where I was thinking that maybe we're all in advertising now. A lot of the conversations, like if you look at the most popular channel as we speak, is probably Instagram stories without Googling stuff. But it seems to be quite a popular channel for people and brands to interact with.
Yeah.
The people and brands, right? It just seems to be the trend. I'm not saying it's super effective or whatever. I'm just saying, like, there's loads of people doing it. And it seems to be the moment, right? The way to communicate and converse is then it's through DM, right? It's taking the conversation private,
behind walls, yeah.
Right, but so the each of those stories that look like your phone screen is a little billboard of you working publicly. I like the phrase "working publicly." I've written that in a lot of stuff that I've put out recently. That if you've got If you're all right, if you're comfortable in working publicly, there's not a better promotion, right? Because it's kind of proof of what you do.
Yeah.
Which kind of contradicts my thing of you have to have epic creative. That's the opposite. That's just true. That's real life, right? That's life working.
Epic creative is, you know, you can be epically creative using those mediums.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what gets you noticed more over anybody else. That's the great advert piece. It means that everybody's advertising, but then there is just people who are advertising against people who are creatively brilliant at advertising.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And there's people doing it now, right? I know. Let's share some real life stories who are doing that. So there's a couple of recently discovered brands who are small by all crates, right? They're not household names. But there's one I want to share called Painter Jackets.
Painter Jackets.
Right, and it's P-A-Y-N-T-E-R, Painter Jackets.
Okay, what do they do?
They make, their proposition is we make limited edition jackets in batches 3 times a year. Right, and they came from another brand who I'm going to mention in a minute called Hyatt Denim, who are out of Wales.
I've heard of Hyatt Denim before.
I think they make jeans that last a lifetime is their thing, a bit like Patagonia, but they make jeans that last a lifetime. Those two, like the guy who runs Painter Jackets, used to work at Hyatt Denim and made jackets out of the offcut of denim.
And
jackets under the same vein. So it's kind of circular economy, purpose driven. Like this jacket will not let you down, right? They'll repair it. They'll make jackets that last forever. Like Hyatt jeans make jeans that last forever. Do you know what I mean? Like to redo all that sort of thing. But the if you have a look at their Painter Jackets Instagram account, it's beautiful, right? It tells a really good Prem story. If you look at it as a whole, like their whole grid, like is a beautiful representation of a brand that they do really well. And they have a list, right? And I went to a talk, the guy did it, who runs Painter Jackets. And they have a list of 500 people, right? An email list of 500 people who said, I want to buy a Painter Jacket, please. Right. And when their batches are only 300 jackets. Right. So when they make three,
it's already sold out.
Right. When they go, hey, we've got 300 jackets, and then 200 people don't get them. So when the next batch is released, these 200 people are desperate for the new Painter Jacket. That they're super good. Right. It's just a beautifully run and communicated and told brand story. That I think
I've just gone on it for the first time. It looks awesome, even down to their avatar. This is on Instagram. It stands out in a list of everybody else with Painter on it.
Yeah,
it's just solid red.
Right. If you see, like, there's some really good clothing brands at the moment. So then those guys, Hyatt Denim, which is not how it sounds. It's HIUT. I believe. Again, very similar, but beautiful, beautiful storytelling and brand, and really good. So HIUT Denim on Instagram. Again, really similar feel. There's Always Wear Red by a guy we've mentioned before, Michael Owen, not the footballer. It's also a very similar feel to brand storytelling and advertising, and how to, this is like good advertising thing. They've got a product, right? Products are beautiful things in marketing because they simplify everything, right? You know what a product is, it's tangible, it's a thing, right?
Yes.
Whereas a service can be untangible because the result is often an experience or protracted over a lot of time. Whereas product is a thing, it's a thing, it's got a purpose, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's a tool or whatever. But these, I had those three kind of companies bring to mind as really good examples of how everything, the creative is beautiful, but simple, right? There's not 50 grand's worth of photography and everything on either of those. No. Right? And I know from listening to this talk of the Painter Jackets people that they're Painter's photo shoot is usually him and his missus and a mate or two heading to Brighton Beach or something.
People buy into, I buy into that more, you know, that realism, that because it's attainable.
Yeah.
I like that feeling of, oh, it feels custom made, feels high end, but actually it feels like I can achieve that.
But it's beautifully simple. I think simplicity makes a really effective advert and a really effective brand story, right? Like it's the more you have to think about it. Like we mentioned in an earlier episode, hashtag womb stories.
Yes.
From Body Form.
Episode 4, I think. Yeah.
Which is a beautiful piece of creative, but you have to really concentrate to understand what's happening. Like it's not immediately effective. I think the video is 3-4 minutes long, right? You have to watch it to understand to get the impact, right? It's a different thing. Whereas these, you just go, oh, that's nice.
You get it straight away.
It's beautiful, right? It's beautiful, it's simple, it's effective. You don't have to read any text technically to know what they're doing. Like they've got a thing on here, a little thing. Buy good things, use them for a long time. Just in an Instagram square. Brilliant. Like,
very true.
Excellent.
Yes.
What a good slogan that is. Like, fine. Wicked, I understand.
Well, you've portrayed your value to somebody straight away, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to become synonymous with that, you know, buy once, don't buy twice type of thing, it proves that you're not high end. Well, you might be high-end, but it proves that people are going to value what you've created.
And the jacket, you know, the jackets aren't are priced, right? We're not Hugo Boss level. They're 150, 160 quid, I think, which is all right for a coat. Especially if one's going to last you for a long time.
Fair play. I just buy cheap all the time. I do buy twice. I need to stop.
There you go. It's a great case study, that, and I know they've got a product which simplifies it, I think, but I just like the way they advertise their brand. They tell their story, right, and they amplify it, and they just bravo, Paint the Jacket.
Now, before I go into a list of great advertisers, when we start talking about story, I've just made a massive purchase. Not a house, not a car, but a new bike, right, which turned up this week. But that story of how I got to that bike was all because of that brand. And it's because they gave me the country to be. And that was really impressive. And then they created it to what I want it to be, but then gave a full warranty for lifetime on it at the same time. I just sit there and go, perfect. You know, so I didn't choose one of the high-end Pinarellos of this world. I went for another great brand called Orbea. And they made it to my specification, to my frame colour that I specified. They engraved my name on the top of it in Spain and had it shipped over to me. And it's awesome. But they portrayed just a different style of brand compared to others. And the other cycling brand, and I found this out yesterday, which I found super interesting, I'm doing a lot of reading around this at the minute, is there's a whole thing in cycling that if you wear a protein kit while you go out on a Sunday, you're called a full kit wanker, right? So in most of the sports, so football, as soon as that new football shirt comes out, people go out and buy the football shirt. If a rugby shirt comes out, people go and buy the rugby shirt. In cycling, if you go and buy the latest team shirt, you're an idiot, right? That's the way it's perceived. And it's all been found back now to 2003, I believe it was, or 2004. Everybody used to buy full team strips until a little known brand called Rafa came along and went, we're going to take all logos off everything and just have a clean kit. And they started selling cycling as a lifestyle rather than a sport. And at that point, in 1 year, the people who made those replica kits dropped by something like 700,000 pounds worth of orders in 1 month.
Wow.
Because Rafa just came out with this clean looking thing. And I look at Rafa now, I buy some Rafa stuff. It's expensive, it's high end, but if you have a crash, they replace it for you. If you lose weight through cycling, they then replace that item for you at half price because they're going, well done on you on losing weight. Here's the same set in a lower size. But they've also now started to grow their brand back outwards and have just done like link ups with Outdoor Voices. I don't know if you've heard of Outdoor Voices, but they're an American brand, which is all about getting out there running and things like that, and yoga and pieces. And they've started to create partnership collections with those people. And they also did one with Paul Smith, because Paul Smith was a keen cyclist. Yeah. So all of those different things, their advertising came out at the right time to the right people. They knew that people didn't want to buy full kits. They built a new product that was different. Their advertising sucked them in.
That's good. I think that, you know, that the Rafa brand, which I'm not into cyclists, so I haven't really heard of them, but they hark back to that thing we did about rule breaking, right? We mentioned rule breaking in an episode where we discussed a piece of content, right? They saw what the status quo in the industry was like and did the opposite.
Yeah.
Do you know? They, you know, Rafa and your bike, what's it, Orbea?
Orbea.
Paint a Jacket, Hyatt Denim, all this feeling of brand, right? Have got such a kind of a purpose or a depth to them in the brand that all they're doing is telling the story about the good work they do and amplifying it, right? Amplifying it through advertising, which I think is the holy grail. If you've got a depth of like a depth of something driving you, right? Purpose, cause, problem, whatever it is, right? That depth of thing that's driving you, and you're able to tell the story of you doing that good work and amplify it is the most simple and effective way of building a brand.
It certainly helps, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Certainly helps. I mean, we had a discussion through social media the other night just about that very thing. Having a purpose behind that brand and relaying that purpose through your advertising is likely to make more people buy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's depth, like there's definitely a depth, right? There's it just doesn't appeal to the simple product market fit stuff. It appeals to the emotional level, right? And I think there's a good marketing graphic or a good kind of piece of imagery where there's depth and impact scale.
Yeah.
Depth of meaning and impact scale is an interesting thing. Because I think loads of people are transactional and just sell as many products to as many people as possible. It's not like it's transactional. It's top of the funnel, right? Do you know what I mean? It's simple. Yeah. Like milk. You don't need to be sold milk necessarily. Like, it's milk. I just need some milk. Like, I don't...
It's really strange when you walk into a shop, and I don't think I've ever sat there and gone, oh, do I buy the supermarket version or do I buy Crave & Dave? I've never made that decision. I've gone, right, which one's the cheapest?
Yeah, I just want some milk.
Yeah.
It's milk, right? And some stuff is like that. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you need a new hammer. You can go and get a hammer. Right, it's fine. I've got a new tripod coming, I think, and one of those interesting brushes that do block paving, cleaning. Getting old. but they're, you know, there's definitely a depth, right? I think... Maybe I want to say a sentence like, the impact your brand will make is exponential depending on the depth of the reason behind it or something. I don't know. I want to frame that. I think it correlates, right? I think effectiveness and impact and purpose are related some way.
Of course they are. Because I don't think it's a thing. I think they are, you know, purposefulness and impact. It's all about that customer gain that they don't realize they're going to achieve. So look at Tom's.
Yeah.
We always jump to Tom's because they're good at it. They were one of the biggest shouters of purpose-driven product for a long time. But every pair of shoes that you buy, you provide another pair of shoes for a young child in Africa.
Yeah.
You know, why would you buy a cheaper version of that but not give that to somebody else who's in need of it? What you're doing is not only are you answering the customer pain of I need shoes and our shoes are suitable for you, but you're also giving that customer an extra gain, which they wouldn't get through just buying a normal piece of shoe.
Yeah, and that, you see, their advertisements, like Painter, like Hyatt, don't become about flogging a product.
It's not about selling the shoe to you. It's about selling. But what they're selling to you, realistically, is putting a pair of shoes on a child.
It's that thing that I think we mentioned it in a different one, that Simon Sinek says that, good brands don't give people something to buy from, they give people something to buy into, right?
Yeah. You know, I saw a good thing on LinkedIn from Matt Davis the other day regarding when somebody tries to sell a mattress, they're not selling a mattress, they're selling a good night's sleep.
Yes. Oh, I did see that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You put that across really succinctly and really well.
Yeah.
But that's exactly, you know, the purpose of a mattress is for you to have a good night's sleep.
Adverts designed to shift product should be reworked to try and move people.
Yes. The good adverts make you want to buy into whatever that advert is.
Yeah, interesting.
But that's not the only good style of advert, because one of my list of our favourite things, really interesting when you get into things like semiotics and Heinz.
Good. Yeah, I love semiotics.
I mean, to have an advert with a tomato cut into a tomato ketchup bottle shape and you understand it straight away is another level of advertising entirely.
Yeah.
And I absolutely, every time I see something that they do, I think it's brilliant.
I think they've done a similar one with Heinz baked beans. I remember just a single bean.
Or, yeah,
you know, the shape, like roughly in my mind, is I'm not talked about semiotics for a donkey, but really powerful using the brand codes, right? So for people if don't know what codes are, they're like the colors and the shape that represent your brand, and fonts and stuff like that, the aesthetic, you know, the stuff that's recognizably yours, like Snickers is that brown and Mars is black, red and gold, and McDonald's is the M. Do you know what I mean? They've done some interesting semiotic stuff recently, actually, with burgers, haven't they?
They have, yeah. And Burger King have as well. Did you see the one where they made the Whopper go mouldy over 30 days and it went green, and they used that as an advertisement?
Yeah, did they?
Because it was going out and saying our burger's got no artificial flavours in it at all.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting. So, they're really good representations, I think. I think Coca-Cola have done that as well with the shape of their bottle, you know, the traditional glass bottle that nobody buys, but everybody knows what it is.
My wife keeps reminding me, because we were talking about Virgin the other day. We were talking about Coca-Cola and Pepsi and how they used to be Virgin Coke in, like, the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Do you remember they brought out the Pammy bottle, which is in the shape of Pamela Anderson?
I do now. I didn't before, but I do now, yeah.
That was an advertisement. I think it went down like a lead balloon.
Yeah. A lot of it, Richard Branson, like, Richard Branson is not afraid to fail, though, is he? God bless him.
No, but everybody fails at something.
Yeah.
You know, that's what makes people. The other people who for me, do some, apart from Lego, as always, you know, I think I have to mention Lego. I don't buy Lego specifically, but... everything they do, they nail it. They did a very semiotic thing around having just a glass with white bricks in it and just said brain food. I thought, absolutely brilliant. So not only are you pulling on milk being healthy for you, but you're not even putting your logo anywhere. So good. So good.
Yeah.
And they also did a really good one to the French market, which was they stood back on the Champs-Élysées. And they took a photo of the Arc de Triomphe and put a Lego man on top of it, because the Arc de Triomphe's leg looks like the legs of the Lego person.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Really clever. I think McDonald's, you've mentioned, but their advertising, subliminal advertising in the word Happy Meal is unbelievable.
I didn't even think of that, yeah. Yeah, good.
It's absolutely outstanding that you can get kids to eat a burger and make them happy and make it feel like it's healthy.
Yeah.
That's great advertising. Like it or lump it, you know, you agree with it, you don't agree with it, it's good advertising that they've put in place there. I think the Heineken ads around possibly or probably the best beer in the world.
Yeah.
And one of the best ones that I've seen in the last, I would say, 5 years or so, the music speaker brand, JBL.
Oh, right, yeah, I know them.
Yeah, so they're not massively known. They're not, you know, a Sonos or anything like that, but they're one of those not expensive, not drastically cheap, so people buy as a mid-range product. they released one picture of a person's skin with goosebumps all over it, and it just says, "Music feels better."
Nice. Yeah.
And I was like, that is one of the best adverts I've seen ever.
That's definitely to their Muso market.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So good.
Yes.
So good.
I think, well, to round up the session, I think we've shared that there's so many brands doing stuff well, right? I think we've done an all right job of explaining why they're effective, you know, using semiotics and codes and breaking that down. It'd be interesting, actually, audience people to put, like, to tweet us or answer in the comments of wherever this thing is. What your favourite adverts are.
Yeah, I'd love to. Interesting. Because there'll be so many of them that we've forgotten.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Come across. But I think, I know there are a lot of consumer brands, and I know there are a lot of consumer products, and there's people out there who aren't dealing with those things on their day-to-day work. But the lessons from a good advert, right, the rules of a good advert, things like brand codes and proposition and creativity are ones that you can point at anything, right, to make it effective. It doesn't matter if you're marketing a boiler, which is technically a white box. Good luck. But you can do different things, right? Like the Matt David's example Steve just shared, you're not selling a boiler. You're selling a warm house.
A warm house.
You know what I mean? You're doing something like that. So you can use those tenants. I know we've used popular ones that you'll probably have seen and you all know, because that's, you know, the art of a good example. But you can use those tenants, I think, to advertise your brand.
Yeah, no, I think that whole boiler scenario is a perfect example. You know, that's where a lot of us in marketing end up, is selling products and services that are needed in every house.
Yeah.
But like you said, you know, what you're actually selling is not a white box. You are selling comfort in life.
Yeah, photocopiers, accounting software, accounting services, conveyancing, like there'll be a thing.
So many.
Right? There'll be a thing that everybody needs that 99% of this country has run on.
But what do you do? How do you advertise? How do you get people like-minded to you to want to use your service buy your product?
Not about product and service. It's about people and story and purpose and stuff. But good, man. I think should we wrap that one up?
Let's wrap that one up, because I think we could go on for that forever.
Advertising. We'll carry on sharing. If this is the first episode of us that you've listened to, usually we share a good, or maybe a good and bad brand or creative or marketing thing at the end of every episode. So there's a bunch of them. And enjoy it. Subscribe if you've not subscribed. Thanks.
Five-star review.
Five-star reviews.
Nothing under 5 stars, not allowed.
No, like it's good market research tactic. You can only give us a 1 or a 5, technically.
Yeah.
Nothing in between, please. Nothing undecided. That'll be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.